Isn't it incredible how God calls us together the way He does, and all of us do different things and are unique from one another, and God uses that for His glory?
Amen.
I thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Amen.
We couldn't dream up anything better than God Himself.
Amen.
And I'm glad to be saved by His grace this morning.
Amen, sir.
Go ahead and take your Bibles, if you will, and go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Amen. We're going to look at some things this morning that hopefully can help us a little bit. How many of y'all are glad to be in church this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I love this book. When I got right with the Lord about 5 years ago as a 19-year-old, I was given a Rock of Ages study Bible. Many of you are familiar with the Rock of Ages. It's a ministry. It's a prison ministry is what it is, how it started, based out of Cleveland, Tennessee. And they bought the rights to the Pilgrim Study Bible, and they edited the notes and put a lot of helpful things in there. And my pastor, Dr. John Smith, he actually sat on the board for the Rock of Ages and contributed a lot of the notes that are in there. And it was a big, giant, red study Bible. And I took it everywhere I went. It did not leave my hip. And I remember being so enamored with the book of Ephesians and just reading it over and over, over and over again until the page signature started to come unbound and fall out. And still, now if you were to go to my bookshelf and grab that Bible and shake it, the book of Ephesians will fall out flat. And but I say that to say this, that these are precious words to me. Amen. And all the Bible's inspired. I'm not saying it's any more special than the other, but what I'm saying is I'm so thankful for the way that God has used these scriptures to touch my heart.
Amen.
And hopefully we can examine some of the scriptures today and get a blessing out of them ourselves. But Ephesians chapter number 2, Paul teaches about the doctrine of grace, which is oftentimes perhaps it's the most commonly misunderstood doctrine among Christian folks. The reformers want to twist the doctrine of grace. Lots of people want to twist it and make it a more of a meritorious thing, a justification. And it could not be any further from what the grace of God truly and really is. And so today, if the Lord will help us, I want to examine a few scriptures and preach on this thought, amazing grace. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter number 2, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God,"
amen.
I like those Holy Ghost conjunctions, amen. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's pray. Father, we love You. And Lord, we're gathered here today to worship You and to hear from You, and because of You, Father, Lord, and what You did at Calvary's cross. And Lord, for no other reason, Lord, should there be in our heart, Father, to be gathered here today. Lord, we're here to see Jesus, Lord. We're here to hear from the Word of God. We're here to draw ourselves closer to You and to worship You in truth and in spirit. And Lord, I pray that You'll help me to preach today with power and with love and with a sound mind. And Lord, might we examine the Scriptures and find things that might do just that and draw us closer to Thee. And Father, we'll thank You so much for all that You'll do, for You're the only one who's worthy, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Paul, in the earlier part of this chapter, doesn't paint a very pretty picture of you and I who are saved by grace. I want to go back and examine something he says in verse number 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And make no mistake here this morning, the prince of the power of the air is the devil. Now, I'm not going to run this rabbit or get too theological here this morning, but I will say this, that when Adam, in his innocence, chose to rebel against God and fall from the image of God, he forfeited the dominion he had over this creation over to the devil, and now he is identified by this apostle under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God as the prince of the power of the air. If there is ever a day that the devil is at work in this day and age, it is right now, right today. People are blaspheming more than ever. People are parading immorality and ungodly sins and putting them on a pedestal. And people are trying to normalize the things that God calls abominable and unholy. And Paul is so very quick to identify that this is to be according to the prince of power of the air, that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But remember here this morning, as he's talking to us. He's talking to the church. He's talking to saved folk. If I could put it in country boy terms, he's saying, you're from the very same stock they were. In fact, he gets a little detailed. He says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He said, those who are unholy, those who are ungodly, those who are abominable, those who are wicked. He said, you're from the same stock they were. The only difference is the grace of God. And that's where he comes in at verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Let me tell you something this morning, friend. The only thing that made the difference in my life is the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. That's the only reason I'm saved here this morning. It ain't because I'm a preacher. It ain't because I'm a pastor. It's not because I've done things. It's because God saved me by His grace, because I was a sinner and I needed it. Amen. The same way you need God's grace in here this morning, I need God's grace in here this morning. He tells us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together by Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, to made us sit in, together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank God for that. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amen. Verse number 8, he says this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. First and foremost, I'd like to take a minute and slow down and really break down and examine verse number 8. It says, for by grace. It's important that as we come to this message in a preliminary aspect, that we understand the definition of grace. What is grace? The most common definition that we'll hear for grace is the unmerited favor of God. And that's a pretty good definition. My pastor likes to use an acrostic to define it, G-R-A-C-E. He says, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a pretty good way of saying it right there, amen? He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the grace of God. One man said it this way. The great Bible teacher, Adrian Rogers, said, justice is when God gives us what we deserve. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve. And grace is when God gives us much more than we deserve. You and I, the only thing that we deserve is a place reserved in hell because we're unholy, ungodly, wicked sinners, each and every single one of us. But God, by His grace, has quickened us and brought us together and put us in heavenly places and given us a position in Christ that we can rejoice and glory in. That is the grace of God. Grace is a wonderful thing, and you can show graciousness in your life. It's a wonderful thing when men are gracious to one another. When people are show benevolence and show that love and show that charity, and they give something to someone that they don't deserve. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But it's an entirely different thing together that the holy Creator God of heaven would show grace to you and I. Amen. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, that the Son of Man should visit us him? Who are we that God should think on us? Who are we that God should leave His throne of glory and come to this earth to bear the old rugged cross and bear those stripes in His body on the tree and bleed and die for you and I? That's the grace of God.
Amen.
Make no mistake here this morning, we did not deserve what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Not a one of us do.
Amen.
There's not one day of your entire life that you've lived that you've woke up and deserved the grace of God on your life.
Amen.
But I'm glad the way the prophet Jeremiah said, he said, every morning His mercy is new. Amen. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Thank God that His compassions fail not. That's the grace of God.
Amen.
Paul says, for by grace, that's the definition of grace. We see the derivative of grace. What do we get from grace? It says, for by grace are ye saved. I like that word. That's a Bible word, saved. I got nothing wrong with it. I know the theologians, they want fancier words and words that might be a little bit more explanatory. And then I have no problem with the words regeneration and revitalized and all these things. But I'm glad that the Bible says I'm saved by the grace of God. For by grace are ye saved. I still like the word born again. Amen. You can call it a compound word. You can call it a hyphen, whatever you want to call it. All I know is Jesus told Nicodemus, lest ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Listen to me in here this morning. You will not get to heaven by turning over a new leaf.
Amen.
You will not get to heaven by cleaning up what's superficial and on the outside. You will not get to heaven by playing a religious game and putting on a facade. You'll get to heaven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, by which ye are saved by His grace.
Amen.
That's what salvation is. One man defined it this way. He said it's preservation from destruction or danger or calamity. It's to be saved or something or kept safe from something. You and I are saved from the wrath of God that was impending upon you and I. It rested upon our shoulders. You and I, unholy, ungodly, wicked sinners in the sight of God, deserved nothing less than the wrath of God. But Jesus, the glorious Lamb of God, left heaven and came to earth, and the fullness of the wrath of God, sparing not one drop, was poured on the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. That's why we go free.
Amen.
That's why we have salvation. That's why we have redemption. That's why we can go away and go to heaven and worship God in truth and in spirit, is because He saved us by His grace. Are you saved this morning?
Amen.
I'm not asking what you wore to church this morning. I'm asking, are you saved? Amen. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm asking, are you saved? I'm not asking if your name's on the membership roll. I'm asking, are you saved this morning? Because if you're saved, it's only by the grace of God. We see the deliverance of God's grace. How did God choose to issue this through to us? It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. I like what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 10. Paul said this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart the man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's simple enough for a six-year-old to hear it and get saved. Amen. Pastor John told me, he said, if you preach the gospel in such a way that a five-year-old couldn't understand it and hear it and be saved, he said, you're doing it all wrong. It simply says that if you'll believe in your heart and you'll call upon His name, He will save you from your sins. I tell people this all the time. It ain't about praying a prayer.
Amen.
It's not a magic spell. It's not 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. It's the faith in your heart that God the Son died on Calvary's cross according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day. And if you'll believe that, and if you'll trust in Him as the one and only self-sufficient sacrifice for your sins, He'll save you today.
Amen.
Through faith. Through faith.
Amen.
I like what the Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, my favorite scripture to show someone after they call on the name of the Lord, in whom you also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
That's grace. God says, not only am I going to save you by my grace, I'm going to keep you by my grace.
Amen.
Listen to me tonight. Listen to me this morning. If it was up to you and I to keep our salvation, every single one of us would be back on our way to hell before the light bulbs get the chance to cool down after the service.
That's right.
It's by faith, by grace, through faith, that we are saved from the wrath of God. By grace are you saved through faith. We see the distinction of grace, and that not of yourselves. He says in Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You and I will have nothing in eternity, nothing in heaven to claim to get us there, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And while I'm saying that, let me say this too. It's the same thing for the Old Testament saints. There's not a one of them that's going to be claiming the blood of the sacrifices in heaven.
Amen.
There's not a one of them that's going to be claiming their own works that got them to heaven. Okay. It's by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible said that Abraham's faith was counted unto him for righteousness. He was looking forward to the cross. We look back at the cross, but the common denominator is what Jesus did at Calvary to save us. Amen.
Amen.
The distinction of grace, and that not of yourselves. And we see the donation of grace. It is the gift of God. Now I say donation not in a sense of a mere charitable contribution to something, but I say it in a sense of supplying out of abundance a need that someone else cannot meet. You and I could not save ourselves.
Amen.
You and I could not redeem ourselves back to God, back to a holy God. There's no way that could have ever happened. Webster's 1828 dictionary simply defines donation as the act of giving or bestowing a free gift. See, a gift by definition is given freely. You don't do anything to earn a gift. If you competed for it, it would be a prize. If you did something to earn it, it would be a reward or it would be an award. It's not any of those things. There might be many people in many pulpits across America that teach and preach that, but you won't find that in the Bible. My Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That means the sin debt that you and I owe to God, the only thing that that's racking up is a place in hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
That's the donation of His grace.
Amen.
God gave His very own Son. Paul said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense one man be dead, much more by the grace of God and by the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ hath abounded to many. God gave us the gift of salvation. God gave us all of His grace. God gave us all of His love. God gave us His entirety when He gave us His only begotten Son at Calvary. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God was willing to pay. He was willing to go the ultimate distance. He was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. He was willing to give Himself to us that we might be reconciled to Him.
Amen.
Thank God for grace.
Amen.
Thank God for grace. It says it is the gift of God. And by the way, in Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Amen. That means anybody can get saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, preacher, you don't know what kind of sin I've done. You don't know what kind of places I've been. You don't know what kind of wickedness I've gotten into. Well, as far as the Bible goes, you fall under that category. You fall under that all men. You fall under that whosoever. And if you're in here this morning under the sound of my voice and you hear the gospel and you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll save you from your sins today.
Amen.
It's a matter of accepting Him by faith. That's the donation of grace. In verse number 9, I want us to notice something. We see the doctrine of grace. It says again, not by works, lest any man should boast. And we already looked at the distinction where it says, and that not of yourselves. But I do want to say this. There are many of people that teach a means of grace theology. The Methodist Church teaches a means of grace theology. Armenian churches teach a means of grace theology. And essentially what that means is through your works, God saves you by His grace. Through your communion, through your baptism, through your church membership, through this, through confirmation, and all these things they want to put there on. They said that's a conduit for the grace of God to get to you. And if you don't fulfill those things, if you don't walk according to the letter of the law, as the Judaizers so oftentimes will criticize Paul, they say, if you don't do these things, you're not saved. But listen to me tonight. That's not grace. He said, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. In verse 9 it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen to me very carefully.
faith and works are completely compatible. The Bible says faith without works is dead. The Bible says that ye shall know a tree by its fruit. There's no fruit, there's no root. I believe if you're saved and you have faith in Jesus Christ and you've repented and believed the gospel, God will produce in you a spiritual fruit for His glory. I believe that. But listen to me. Grace and works stand in contrast. Grace says where he couldn't work, where he couldn't meet the standard, where he couldn't match up, where he could not supply that need himself, I will supply that for him. That's the doctrine of grace in here. We got nothing to glory in and of ourselves. Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Paul, he perhaps one of the greatest Christians we've ever seen on this earth, missionary journeys, preaching, evangelism, suffered many things for the gospel of Christ. And he said, listen, I've got nothing to glory in and of myself. He said this as well. He said, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Outside of the grace of God, you and I are nothing. The proverb said, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Amen.
Make no mistake here this morning, it's all by the grace of God.
Amen.
And I'll finish with this. The duty of grace. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen to me today. God saved you for a reason.
Amen.
God had a purpose in saving you. If God saved you just so you could go to heaven, you wouldn't be here right now. If God didn't have a reason to keep you around, He let you die and take you on to heaven if you're saved. But if you got out of bed this morning, if you're breathing His sweet air in your lungs and you're walking on this dirt that He made, God has a purpose for you being here. God has a reason for you being here. You are fulfilling a purpose. You ought to be seeking whatever it is that God would have you to do, because you and I belong to Him. We are the purchased possession of God.
Amen.
God paid the price with His own blood on Calvary.
Amen.
And we owe our lives to Him.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave Himself for us, speaking of the Lord, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We ought to want to please the Lord. We ought to want to work for God.
Amen.
If you're here this morning and there's not one thing you can put your finger on and say, I'm doing this for God, there's a problem.
Come on.
Amen.
There's a problem.
Yes, sir.
We all need to be seeking what we can do to glorify God, to build His, to be a part of His church and to do what He said for us to do. We ought to be seeking to please Him with all our hearts. We are His workmanship,
amen,
created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He had before ordained that we should walk in Him. He saved us so we could serve Him. We owe everything to Him here tonight. And the only reason, the only way you and I can live a life that's pleasing to God, the only way you and I could fulfill this duty that Christ has foreordained that we should complete, is by His good grace.
Amen.
By the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's one thing I want in my life, it's the grace of God.
Amen.
I'm glad I've been saved by His grace this morning. Amen. And by His grace, I want to do my best to live for Him and continuously please Him with my heart, with my words, with my speech, with my mind. With every fiber of my being, I want to give myself to God that His grace might abound. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody look around but me. I wonder how many of you in here this morning, you want to come to the altar and just pray that God will help you, that God will give you that grace, that God will give you that touch on your life, that God will strengthen you. You might be in here today and you're a sinner and you've never been saved by the grace of God. I've got good news for you. The Bible said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You say, that means God will forgive my sins. That means God will save me. That's absolutely what that means. He'll save you by His grace today if you'll place your faith and your trust in Him.
Would there be any among us in here this morning to be honest and to slip up our hands and say, "Preacher, if I'm being honest, I know I'm not saved. I know I'm on my way to hell. I know if I died right now, heaven would not be my home." If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? You don't got anything to be ashamed of. You don't let pride well up in your heart. Don't let fear hold you back from committing yourself to God this morning. If you're in here and you're not saved, I want you to slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved, but I need the grace of God. I need to be saved. I'm tired of living this life of sin. I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. I'm tired of trying to play a game." If that's you, will you raise your hand this morning? I tell you, if you'll humble yourself before God this morning and call upon His name, place all your faith and trust alone in the finished work of Calvary, God will save you. You say, "Preacher, I don't know if I can live it." Well, let me tell you something. In your flesh, you can't live it. That's why the Holy Spirit of God seals us unto that glorious day of redemption. He'll help you. He seals you. He'll help you. He'll keep you. God wants to give you grace this morning. Some of you in here, you got loved ones that are unsaved and on their way to hell, and what you need is grace. I wonder, would you come and pray this morning? How many Christians would raise their hand in here this morning and say, "Preacher, I need the grace of God in my life"? All over the house. God bless you.